Today I want to talk to you about God's provision. God's provision. Because we live in an age where we need to know who our source is. Who's your source? So turn in your Bibles to Psalm 37. Would you do that? Psalm 37. Now, some of you have gotten quiet on me already. Psalm 30. Here's the deal. Here's when you know you have made politics an idol. You ready? This is a good definition. This is to understand. I have a lot of Christian friends who believe different about certain issues. For example, speaking in other tongues. I have some great Baptist friends who don't think it, but we're friends. And we're able to have a serious conversation and just care about each other because we are the body of Christ. Now, I have other friends who I believe that we're going to have the rapture before the tribulation. I just believe that. Because God hasn't destined his people for wrath. And the tribulation period's about God pouring out his wrath. So I just think in the rapture. Well, I know other believers who do not believe like I do. But you know what we're able to do? Have a conversation and love one another. But I have had people, because in our conversations I believe different politically than they do, who have just walked out of my life. Believers who I knew for years. Listen, when the body of Christ is willing, when you were willing to suffer the kingdom of God, the body of Christ, the friendships, the bonds that you make for your political views, you have made politics an idol. And there's a lot of Christians who have made politics their idol. Because our hope is not in who's in the White House. Maybe God is trying to teach us that. No, just. I better get to going here. Some of you laughing, some of you steaming, but you get old. But listen, I'm honest. I'm very true about that. If you're willing to sacrifice your Christian friends over your political views, you've made an idol over politics. Because what binds us together is not that. What binds us together is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Psalm 37. Verse 23. Look at it. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. James, in the King James Version, it says, God directs the steps of the righteous. Aren't you glad you're righteous today? Well, if you're not righteous, you can be righteous. I'm not talking about your own righteousness. I'm talking about the righteousness that comes from Christ when you put your faith in him as your redeemer. And look what he said. Did you hear what he says right there? The Lord directs the steps of the godly. And then look what he says. He delights in every detail of their lives. What does he delight in? Every what? Maybe that's why he knows the number of hair on your head. Maybe that's why he knows what you have need of even before you ask. Because he delights in you. Now, when I got saved, I didn't grow up in that tradition. Do you understand? I grew up in a position where they said, God's going to get you. And the fear was God. And there's nothing wrong with fearing God. That's the beginning of wisdom. But they pictured God as sitting on the throne ready to hammer you down. Boom! Where'd that scripture go? He what? He delights in every detail of their lives. So when I'm holding my wife's hand, when I'm telling my children I love them, Come on now. The details. The details. Even the ones I don't want you to know about. The details. He delights in the life that he has given you. Because the life that he has given you is after his image. And because you are sacred in his sight, he pays attention. Oh, wait. Verse 24, though they stumble, they will never fall. For the Lord holds them by the hand. Once I was young and now I'm old. What he's really saying is I've lived a little. And then he says this, yet I have never seen the godly abandoned or their children begging for bread. The godly always give generous loans to others, and their children are a blessing. Lord, in the next few moments, captivate our heart with your word. Help us, Lord, to receive, to know your care over our lives, your provision, you being our source, Lord. Bless us today in your word, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You see, the conversation that the psalmist is having is a conversation that began in verse 16. It is better to be godly and have a little than to be evil and rich. See, if you're not careful, you will want what the ungodly have. And there's a difference between what the righteous have and what the ungodly have. There's a contrast between the two. And the psalmist is trying to give us a contrast between God-centered living and the wicked. And there's huge conflict. And if you're not careful, as a righteous person who is trying to live and walk in integrity, you can look over at the wicked and say, they sure are wealthy. They sure are prosperous. And you can begin to envy what they possess. Can I tell you, it's just stuff. And they ain't taking none of that with them. You can look around and see how the wicked escape justice. And it can, you can get bogged down in that. And they escape retribution. And I could name in my lifetime people who you knew were guilty, got off scot-free. They don't pay for their crimes. And this psalmist says they even plot against the righteous. And he says this, it is foolish to envy them. Foolish to envy. Because the Lord is not on their side. Aren't you glad the Lord's on your side? I mean, there's something about God being on our side. Here are some of the things that he said previously to what I just read. In verse 17, he says this, the Lord takes care of the godly. Now, it's a beautiful thing when God is commissioned to take care of you. Think about that for a moment. Now, what does God possess? What are his resources? And he has said, I'm going to take care of you. Now, when you start looking to other things as your source, you're going to be disappointed. Disappointed. God's our source. In verse 18, he says, the Lord takes care of the innocent. Oh, well, I got to keep my heart right. We talked about that Wednesday night. I would encourage you to go back and watch that because it talks about us guarding our hearts so we don't fall into a trap of thinking wrong things. Because if you think wrong things, you're going to do wrong things. And then when you do wrong things, there are consequences to wrong things. You do reap what you sow. Yeah. Verse 19, he says, the godly, even in famine, they will have more than enough. Isn't that awesome? Even in famine, you're going to have more than enough. I was very thankful the other day when I was filling my truck up. I had enough to pay for it. And more than enough. Sometimes we can get so backed up and worried about this. And you and I need to remember our source. Our source is God. God has made a promise to take care of you. Glory to God. Amen. In Psalm 37:21, he says this, the wicked borrow and never repay, but the godly are generous givers. Aren't you glad? Generous givers. Hey, it's money. I know people who sit around and say, well, let somebody else give. They got all the money. I don't know. Guess what they're going to have? Listen, God made a promise that those who sow will reap. Those who learn to give will receive. Verse 23, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. Oh, my goodness. I don't know about you, but there have been times when I didn't know where to step. I didn't know what to do. And I just commissioned that verse on my side. Lord, you said that you would direct the steps of the righteous. And I am righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm not sure which way to go, but you said you'd direct my steps, so I'm stepping. Because what the enemy would love for you to do is to be locked down in indecision. You ever been around people who can't make up their minds? It drives me crazy. I mean, I just, can somebody decide where we're doing dinner? Listen, the enemy wants you to be locked in indecision because he knows if he can lock you into indecision, he has frozen you to keep you from doing God's purpose in your life. You're never going to make God's purpose happen sitting still, not moving forward. God has a plan, a growth plan for your life, a plan that means you got to move in his direction. Don't be afraid to step by faith. Listen, I've been fortunate enough to know that sometimes I've stepped and he shut the door. Why? Because the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. He knows how to direct your steps. And then he says this verse, and he delights in every detail of their lives. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of captivated by that today. I mean, I'm just fascinated by the fact that God cares about my toenails. You always think God's interested in big. Can I tell you, God cares about everything in your life. The details of your life. Verse 24, though they stumble. Anybody ever stumble? They will never fall. For the Lord holds them by the hand. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What are you afraid of? Now listen, I know what it is to stumble. Linda and I hike a little bit, and there's roots that just jump out and trip me. Hey, it just works that way. You know, and you got to know something. God's holding your hand. Listen, you know what the Bible says in Hebrews. Listen to this. Angels are sent to minister to those who will inherit salvation. Well, that's me. Is it you? Are you saved? Then God has the ability to send angels to take care of you. Well, glory to God. He knows how to though they stumble, they'll never fall. I was listening to this leadership podcast the other day, this little minute or two thing that I listened to, and the guy says this: there's no CEO, no person has become the CEO of a company by quitting. And some people, when they stumble, they quit. Sometimes stumbling is to let you know who's gripping you. Sometimes stumbling is maybe you need to learn something. Don't give up. Amen. We may be cast off and down from this world, but there is a God in heaven who stands in our defense. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. We are pressed on every side by troubles. We are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down and never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Glory to God. He goes on to say this in verse 16. That is why we never give up. Say that with me. That is why we never give up. Why? Because God's on our side. I said this morning in the early service, listen, the world's running on empty. You and I running on God. There's a world of difference between the two. Where's your source? I hope it's not your boss. I hope it's not the church. I hope it's not the government. Your source has got to be God. It's got to be God. And you'll have more than enough. Listen, this is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying and our spirits are being renewed every day, for our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Verse 18, so we don't look at our troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. Can I tell you, heaven is coming? Huh? For the things we see now will soon be gone. But the things we cannot see will last forever. Glory to God. That's why the Bible says this: delight yourself in the Lord. Ooh, teach me to delight myself in you, Lord. That's why the Lord says this: commit your way unto Him. Be still before Him. Wait on Him. Then the psalmist says this: I've been young and I've been old, yet I've never seen the godly abandoned or their children begging for bread. Can I tell you something? You can have confidence in God for Him taking care of you and your children. Now listen, the prerequisite is righteousness. Don't think you can live an unrighteous life. I have a great friend who says this: what you do in moderation, your kids will do in excess. Live righteous before Him, and there are rewards to that. What he's really trying to say, the psalmist is really trying to say, is this: the Lord wins. I've read the end of the book, the Lord wins. And in the end, the righteous will win with Him. Hallelujah! The future and hope in our hearts is great, is amazing. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, it says this: teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all things we need for what? Our enjoyment. I went to my first church, and this old man in the church, he was precious, but he was cantankerous. And he got mad at every Christian who had a boat. Thought it was just a waste of money. I hate to tell you this, but I own a boat. I didn't own one back then. I couldn't afford one. But he was just so mad at Christians who spent all their money on it. I walked into his garage one day, and thousands of dollars worth of ham radio equipment. But them boats, I didn't say a word to him. This is what he says. Do not trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Have you watched the stock market lately? I don't mean to depress you if you got any return, but I'm just telling you, your source is not the stock market. Your source is the Lord, and he knows how to take care of you. He knows how to sustain you when all chaos is going on. We, the righteous, live knowing God will take care of us. He is our strength. He is our source. And therefore, Abraham can look at Sarah's barrenness and believe the Lord for something supernatural. Elijah, in the face of famine, can go to Zarephath and ask a widow woman to give part of his meal, and the flour and oil would never end. Joshua and Caleb can go spy out a land, see all kinds of giants in the land, and declare, "Let's go!" Because God made a promise. God made a promise. Just Hebrews chapter 11 is a great chapter, and it's the hall of fame of faith. And in verse 20, it says, by faith that Isaac promised blessings for the future to his son, Jacob and Esau. Why? Because I've been old and I've been young and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. It was by faith Jacob, when he saw he old and dying, blessed each of the Joseph's sons, and he bowed in worship as he leaned on his staff. It was by faith that Joseph, when he was about to die, said confidently that the people of Israel would leave Egypt. He even commanded them to take his bones with them when they left. They marched into Egypt, hungry, abandoned, it seemed, but God took care of them. But he saw something. 400 years later, they would march out of Egypt. And they took his bones. They took his bones. Why? Because he knew something. I've been young and I've been old, and I've never seen the righteous begging for bread or their children going without. There's something powerful about that. In Habakkuk chapter 3, it says this: even though the fig trees have no blossom and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails, there's no baby food in the formula in the stores. Oh, it doesn't say that. And the fields are empty, and eggs are going out. No, it doesn't say that. Fields are empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle. Do you know 10,000 heads of cattle died the other day in Kansas because of the heat? And you just thought meat was expensive. Even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord and will be joyful in the God of my salvation. Who's your source? For the sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights. God has not abandoned you. Make God your source. Stand with me, would you? Listen to me. The writer of the psalm said, I've been young and I've been old, and I've never seen the righteous abandoned or their children begging for bread. Can you say that with me? I've been young and I've been old, but I've never seen the righteous abandoned or their children begging for bread. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? That God is going to take care of you. God is going to take care of you. He is faithful that way. Even if he has to dispense a few angels, he knows how. Would you just slip your hands toward heaven? Would you thank him for his care? Would you thank him for delighting over your life? Would you thank him for the shoes on your feet? Would you thank him for the food you're about to go eat? Would you thank him? Part of the reason that we are people of thanksgiving is because we understand the source. By nature, we're not complainers, because we understand that God is our source. Our source. He knows how to take care of the righteous. And thanks be to the Lord Jesus Christ, I've been made righteous through his blood. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of life. Thank you, Lord. I've stumbled a few times, Lord, and you've been there. Would you thank God for those moments? Would you just thank him right now? God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. You know how to rescue me. You know how to direct my steps. You know how to... Thank you, Jesus. Listen, we're going to go to worship right now, and I want you to just worship God in the midst of hungry. Be hungry for him. Stir this land, Lord. Begin in me, Lord God. Begin in me. But if there's something in your life, a need that you need God to come through for you, I invite you to just come and stand before him as we worship the Lord and allow him to work in the situation, in the circumstance of your life.